The Voice of Thaimanavar, The Silent Sage, Part 2. We continue with the life story of Thaimanavar, an 18th century Tamilian saint, whose poetry beautifully defines the path to liberation and the exalted states of the liberated. Biographical notes and translations are by Dr. B. Natarajan. The Master. One day, Thaimanavar went up to the rock temple for his daily worship. There he met a sage who belonged to the order of Saint Tirumula. The master and the disciple discovered each other. The disciple fell at the feet of the master, shedding tears of joy, and poured out his heart in sublime hymns. The master blessed him graciously, took him alone, and accepted his devotion. "Master," said the disciple, "I shall follow thee, renouncing home and royal service." "Wait, good soul," admonished the teacher. "Be a householder until you beget a child. Then I shall come to initiate you in meditation. Be silent. Rest in peace. Keep quiet. Have faith. You will reach the supreme state of bliss." Having said this, the master went away. Thaimanavar shed tears of joy and gratitude at the love of his gracious master, who opened his inner eye and followed his teachings faithfully. Liberation. The free soul, hungering for the inner delight, cannot live in the limitations of a royal court. Its proud pleasures are flimsy shows of vanity. It is a place for flatterers and not for sages and seer poets. Thaimanavar would make his life a song offering to the divine of his heart. He would live in the divine, for the divine. He lived in tune with the infinite and would not seek the lightning smile of royal favor. He would be the king of the spirit's kingdom and never a slave of worldly empires. He would enjoy the soul's birthright. He remembered God in all the changing phases of life. He aspired for grace and never for gold. As knowledge dawned upon the aspirant, he rose above the mythic imagination of mental poets. Colored exaggerations, fads, creeds, cults, and dogmas. Faith in the inner reality gave him force. Force fructified into grace and grace into knowledge. He drew the mind from the wandering senses into inner recollection and contemplated upon the pure reality which he was. He discriminated the spirit from the body of nature. He internalized his attention, intensified his concentration, controlled his thoughts, and lulled his mind to meditation. A dynamic peace possessed him. His heart widened into a deep compassion for all. His equal vision saw one soul in the king and in the subject. Life in harmony with the divine was eternal springtime. Life in separation was cyclonic winter. His brain thought, his heart loved, his vital liked nothing but the divine. The invincible grace heard his heartbeat. It influenced the king. Chokanada was a devotee of Shiva and lover of saints. He saw a holy saint in his secretary, Thaimanavar. "Thaimanavar," said the king one day, "your pilgrim soul seeks the inner temple. I see the hidden light flaring up in your emotional symphony. We see the world with a thousand-eyed mind and are deluded. You see the spirit of things with the one-eyed heart. Can the myriad-eyed night equal the one-eyed day? Your soul hungers after the supreme reality. State service is a hindrance to your aspirations. Waste not your days in politics and diplomacy. You are no more the king's servant. The king is your servant. Come, I shall raise a peaceful ashram for you, and you can fix yourself in yoga there. I am grateful to you, O King. God has heard my prayer from your heart. I am liberated. Thanks, said the saint, and he repaired to the banks of the Kaveri to continue his meditation. The king raised a fine hermitage on the river bank and served the saint devoutly. That is mother. The saint was self-absorbed. The mind was nullified like burnt camphor in the flames of self-consciousness. Body consciousness was lost in the infinite spirit. The body changes and falls like the petals of a flower. The immortal spirit rises up at the magic touch of the divine energy generated by meditation. The saint realized the self of all throbbing in his heart. He felt the pinch of hunger when anyone was hungry. He shivered when a poor man had no clothes for the winter. One day, the king offered him a rich shawl. At that moment, a poor lady passed by shivering in the cold. Thai Manavar gave the shawl to the lady, saying, "Mother, you need this more than I." The king felt insulted and demanded an explanation. King, Swami, I gave a fine shawl for your use and you have presented it to the old hag of low caste. Why so? Thai Manavar, no caste, no hag. I gave the shawl to the universal mother. It is she who has received back what belonged to her. Silence meets silence. The great silent sage Sadashiva Brahmam sanctified the atmosphere of India in those days. He moved, steeped in trance. The sky was his roof and earth his home. To see him was to know the real. His songs were already popular among the learned. On his way to Pudukkota, sage Sadashiva met Thai Manavar in 1738. Their meeting was like the meeting of Vedanta and Siddhanta. Silence is peace. Silence is bliss. Silence is knowledge, wrote the sage. Thai Manavar, already a lover of silence, became yet more silent. The king dies. The times were troubled by plots of enemy chiefs and by open skirmishes. Now the Maharathas cannon thundered and now the Musalman powder exploded. The foreigners became aggressive. Peace was in exile and war shook the land with terror. Traitors betrayed masters. Enemy spies created divisions in the camp. King Choganatha was a good man, but not a good ruler. He called to his help anybody and everybody. The only true helper was the Thondaman of Pudukkota, a brave hero who guarded the Thrissurapuram fort with the help of his Marava heroes. But a double-dealing Iago sent a secret spy to the saber-rattling Maharathas. The Maharathas had politics in their brain and courage in their heart. One night, when everything seemed quiet, the fort entrance opened. The main door swung aside. Trumpets were heard. Guns reported. Cannons boomed. the Maharathas were in the heart of the city. Choconada was choked with grief. He must either become his enemy's prisoner or die, shedding his blood in fighting an overwhelming force. Choconada would do neither. He shouted aloud the name of God, Shiva, Shiva, how false is the world, how dangerous sovereignty, and how heavy the crown. Man has a treacherous tiger in him. How can I trust human nature? I take refuge at thy feet, Shiva, Shiva. The king died of a broken heart. The pathetic scene inspired the Nayak army with new courage. Raghunatha Raya Thodaman, the famous king of Pudukkota, took charge of the task of guarding the fort. Vigilant swords and cannons kept the Maharatha hordes at bay. The Thodaman crushed the enemies whose plots were leading to a conflagration. The dread of war being over, Rani Meenakshi, the widow of Choconada, assumed sovereignty. 1731 to 1736. The love news. The first man to attract the queen was Saint Thaimanavar. Holy sir, implored Queen Meenakshi, I am helpless and alone. You are the only wise man whom I can trust. Your head and heart alone can save the kingdom. Its welfare depends upon you. Come and help me in the name of my husband who loved you so much. The saint took pity upon the helpless queen. He felt obliged to do his best to maintain peace and restore order in the realm. Under his influence, treachery was knocked down like an uprooted tree. The den of misrule became a heaven of order and discipline. Under the control of Thaimanavar, the Rani was all regard for him, but her regard carried passion into her youthful heart. His beauty of person, his strong will, wisdom, sagacity, political acumen, religious fervor, austerity, and sweet words worked like magic upon her imagination. Regard turned into affection, affection into love, love into lust, and lust inflamed hidden passions in the uncontrolled mind. She treated him like her close companion. The friendship ripened into love, and she approached him alone one night with a pining heart, with passion lost modesty. She stood before the meditating saint like an image of love-lorn beauty. The saint knew her wiles. Thaimanavar, what has brought you here, queen, at this hour? Queen, my heart has brought me to you, sir. I offer myself to you in surrender. I love you. Thaimanavar, but I love none but the divine in my heart. Queen, sir, consider me as your wife. Thaimanavar, I consider you as my mother. Mother, do not test me. I am your simple child. Queen, my lord, I dedicate my life to you. Embrace me now, or I shall embrace death. Thaimanavar, that shall not be, mother. O God, save me from the noose of lust. Divine force, save me from this flashing sword of lustful eyes. Let not my purity be killed by its venomed edge. Queen, my beloved sir, I shall give you all my wealth. Love me. Thaimanavar, woman, your wealth is filth. Queen, I surrender my kingdom to you. Thaimanavar, your kingdom is whoredom. Leave me in peace. Queen, my man, it is the queen's order. Obey me. Thaimanavar, I obey only the king's order. The king of my soul is God. The Rani cast a lust-lit look and departed like storm-driven lightning. Her love changed into wounded pride. She meant harm, and the saint knew it. Next day, she was determined to force him to her will. She ordered one of her ministers, Narayanappa, to bring the saint to her private apartment. The minister went, saw, came back, and reported that the saint had escaped, his whereabouts not known. She sent spies abroad, but before she could avenge herself, civil war raged in the kingdom. Chanda Sahib assailed her capital. Conspirators and opportunists shattered her peace, and the minister himself rebelled against his woman of intolerable pride and suspicious conduct. We shall see the result of these political upheavals later on. How did he escape? To be continued.